Against Heresies by St. Irenaeus of Lyon. Book 3, Chapter 22. Christ assumed actual flesh, conceived and born of the Virgin. Those, therefore, who allege that he took nothing from the Virgin do greatly err, since in order that they may cast away the inheritance of the flesh, they also reject the analogy between him and Adam. For if the one who sprang from the earth had indeed formation and substance from both the hand and workmanship of God, but the other not from the hand and workmanship of God, then he who was made after the image and likeness of the former did not in that case preserve the analogy of man. And Jesus must seem an inconsistent piece of work, not having wherewith he may show his wisdom. But this is to say that Jesus also appeared putatively as man when he was not man, and that he was made man while taking nothing from man. For if he did not receive the substance of flesh from a human being, he neither was made man nor the Son of Man. And if he was not made what we were, he did no great thing in what he suffered and endured. But everyone will allow that we are composed of a body taken from the earth, and a soul receiving spirit from God. This, therefore, the Word of God was made, recapitulating in himself his own handiwork. And on this account does he confess himself the Son of Man, and blesses the meek, because they shall inherit the earth. The Apostle Paul, moreover, in his epistle to the Galatians, declares plainly, God sent his Son, made of a woman. And again, in that to the Romans, he says, concerning his Son, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, who was predestinated as the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Superfluous, too, in that case is his descent from Mary, or into Mary, for why did he come down into her if he were to take nothing from her? Still further, if he had taken nothing of Mary, he would never have availed himself of those kinds of food which are derived from the earth, by which that body which has been taken from the earth is nourished. Nor would he have hungered, fasting those 40 days, like Moses and Elijah, unless his body was craving after its own proper nourishment. Nor again would John his disciple have said when writing of him, But Jesus, being wearied with the journey, was sitting to rest. Nor would David have proclaimed of him beforehand, They have added to the grief of my wounds. Nor would Jesus have wept over Lazarus, nor have sweated great drops of blood, nor have declared, My soul is exceeding sorrowful. Nor, when his side was pierced, would there have come forth blood and water. For all these are tokens of the flesh which has been derived from the earth, which he had recapitulated in himself, bearing salvation to his own handiwork. Wherefore Luke points out that the pedigree, which traces the generation of our Lord back to Adam, contains 72 generations, connecting the end with the beginning, and implying that it is he who has summed up in himself all nations dispersed from Adam downwards, and all languages and generations of men, together with Adam himself. Hence also was Adam himself termed by Paul the figure of him that was to come, because the Word, the maker of all things, had formed beforehand for himself the future dispensation of the human race connected with the Son of God, God having predestined that the first man should be of an animal nature, with this view that he might be saved by the spiritual one. For inasmuch as he had an existence as a saving, a pre-existence as a saving being, it was necessary that what might be saved should also be called into existence, in order that the being who saves should not exist in vain. In accordance with this design, Mary the Virgin is found obedient, saying, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. But Eve was disobedient, for she did not obey when as yet she was a virgin. And even as she, having indeed a husband Adam, but being nevertheless as yet a virgin, for in paradise They were both naked and were not ashamed. Inasmuch as they, having been created a short time previously, had no understanding of the procreation of children, for it was necessary that they should first come to adult age, and then multiply from that time onward. Having become disobedient, Eve was made the cause of death, both to herself and to the entire human race. So also did Mary, having a man betrothed to her, and being nevertheless a virgin, by a yielding obedience, become the cause of salvation, both to herself and the whole human race. And on this account does the law term a woman betrothed to a man, the wife of him who had betrothed her, although she was as yet a virgin, thus indicating the back reference from Mary to Eve, because what is joined together could not otherwise be put asunder than by inversion of the process by which these bonds of union had arisen, so that the former ties would be cancelled by the latter, that the latter may set the former again at liberty. And it has in fact happened that the first compact looses from the second tie, but that the second takes the position of the first which has been cancelled. For this reason did the Lord declare that the first should in truth be last, and the last first. And the prophet too indicates the same, saying, "Instead of fathers, children have been born unto thee." For the Lord, having been born the first begotten of the dead, and receiving into his bosom the ancient fathers, has regenerated them into the life of God, he having been made himself the beginning of those that live, as Adam became the beginning of those who die. Wherefore also Luke, commencing the genealogy with the Lord, carried it back to Adam, indicating that it was he who regenerated them into the gospel of life, and not they him. And thus also it was that the knot of Eve's disobedience was loosed by the obedience of Mary. For what the virgin Eve had bound fast through unbelief, this did the Virgin Mary set free through faith. Chapter 23. Arguments in opposition to Tatian, showing that it was consonant to divine justice and mercy that the first Adam should first partake in that salvation offered to all by Christ. It was necessary, therefore, that the Lord, coming to the lost sheep, and making recapitulation of so comprehensive a dispensation, and seeking after his own handiwork, should save that very man who had been created after his image and likeness, that is, Adam, filling up the times of God's condemnation which had been incurred through disobedience, times which the Father had placed in his own power. This was necessary, too, inasmuch as the whole economy of salvation regarding man came to pass according to the good pleasure of the Father, in order that God might not be conquered, nor his wisdom lessened in the estimation of his creatures. For if man, who had been created by God that he might live, after losing life through being injured by the serpent that had corrupted him, should not any more return to life, but should be utterly and forever abandoned to death, God would in that case have been conquered, and the wickedness of the serpent would have prevailed over the will of God. But inasmuch as God is invincible and long-suffering, he did indeed show himself to be long-suffering in the matter of the correction of man and the probation of all, as I have already observed. And by means of the second man did he bind the strong man and spoil his goods, and abolish death, vivifying that man who had been in a state of death. For at the first Adam became a vessel in Satan's possession, whom he did also hold under his power, that is, by bringing sin on him iniquitously, and under color of immortality, entailing death upon him. For while promising that they should be as gods, which was in no way possible for them to be, he wrought death in them. Wherefore, he who had led man captive was justly captured in his turn by God. But man, who had been led captive, was loosed from the bonds of condemnation. But this is Adam, if the truth should be told, the first-formed man, of whom the Scripture says that the Lord spoke, "Let us make man after our own image and likeness." And we are all from him. And as we are from him, therefore have we all inherited his title. But inasmuch as man is saved, it is fitting that he who was created the original man should be saved. For it is too absurd to maintain that he who was so deeply injured by the enemy, and was the first to suffer captivity, would not be rescued by him who conquered the enemy, but that his children were, those whom he had begotten in that same captivity. Neither would the enemy appear to be as yet conquered if the old spoils remained with him. To give an illustration, if a hostile force had overcome certain enemies and bound them and led them away captive, and held them for a long time in servitude, so that they begat children among them, and somebody, having compassion on those who had made slaves, should overcome this same hostile force, he would certainly not act equitably were he to liberate the children of those who had been led captive from the sway of those who had enslaved their fathers, but should leave these latter who had suffered the act of capture subject to their enemies, those too on whose very account he had proceeded to this retaliation. The children succeeding to liberty through the avenging of their father's cause, but not their father's, who suffered the act of capture itself. They should not be left in bondage, for God is neither devoid of power nor of justice, who has afforded help to man and restored him to his own liberty. It was for this reason, too, that immediately after Adam had transgressed, as the Scripture relates, he pronounced no curse against Adam personally, but against the ground, in reference to his works, as a certain person among the ancients has observed. God did indeed transfer the curse to the earth, that it might not remain in man. But man received, as the punishment of his transgression, the toilsome task of tilling the earth, and to eat bread in the sweat of his face, and to return to the dust from whence he was taken. Similarly, did also the woman receive toil and labor and groans and the pangs of parturition and a state of subjection, that is, that she should serve her husband, so that they should neither perish altogether when cursed by God, nor, by remaining unreprimanded, should be led to despise God. But the curse in all its fullness fell upon the serpent which had beguiled them. And God, it is declared, said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all cattle and above all beasts of the earth." And this same thing does the Lord also say in the Gospel to those who are found upon the left hand. "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, which my Father has prepared for the devil and his angels," indicating that eternal fire was not originally prepared for man, but for him who beguiled man, and caused him to offend for him, I say, who is chief of the apostasy, and for those angels who became apostates along with him, which fire indeed they too shall justly feel, who like him persevere in works of wickedness, without repentance, and without retracing their steps. These act as Cain did, who, when he was counseled by God to keep quiet, because he had not made an equitable division of that share to which his brother was entitled, but with envy and malice thought that he could domineer over him, not only did not acquiesce, but even added sin to sin, indicating his state of mind by his action. For what Cain had planned, that did he also put into practice. He tyrannized over and slew him, God subjecting the just to the unjust, that the former might be proved the just one by the things which he suffered, and the latter detected as unjust by those which he perpetrated. And he was not softened even by this, nor did he stop short with that evil deed. But being asked where his brother was, he said, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" extending and aggravating his wickedness by his answer. For if it is wicked to slay a brother, Much worse is it thus insolently and irreverently to reply to the omniscient God, as if he could battle him. And for this Cain did himself bear a curse about with him, because he gratuitously brought an offering of sin, having had no reverence for God, nor being put to confusion by the act of fratricide. The case of Adam, however, had no analogy with this, but was altogether different. For having been beguiled by another under the pretext of immortality, he is immediately seized with terror and hides himself, not as if he were able to escape from God, but in a state of confusion at having transgressed God's command. He feels unworthy to appear before and to hold converse with God. Now, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The sense of sin leads to repentance, and God bestows his compassion upon those who are penitent. For Adam showed his repentance by his conduct, through means of the girdle which he used, covering himself with fig leaves, while there were many other leaves which would have irritated his body in the less degree. He, however, adopted a dress conformable to his disobedience, being awed by the fear of God, and resisting the erring, the lustful propensity of his flesh, since he had lost his natural disposition and childlike mind, and had come to the knowledge of evil things. He girded a bridle of continence upon himself and his wife, fearing God, and waiting for his coming, and indicating, as it were, some such thing as follows. "Inasmuch as," he says, "I have by disobedience lost that robe of sanctity which I had from the Spirit, I do now also acknowledge that I am deserving of a covering of this nature, which affords no gratification, but which gnaws. I have retained this clothing forever," thus humbling himself. He would have retained this clothing forever, thus humbling himself, if God, who is merciful, had not clothed them with tunics of skins instead of fig leaves. For this purpose, too, he interrogates them, that the blame might light upon the woman. And again, God interrogates her, that she might convey the blame to the serpent. For she related what had occurred. "The serpent," says she, "beguiled me, and I did eat." But God put no question to the serpent, for he knew that he had been the prime mover in the guilty deed. But God pronounced the curse upon him in the first instance, that it might fall upon man with a mitigated rebuke. For God detested him who had led man astray, but by degrees. And little by little he showed compassion to him who had been beguiled. Wherefore also God drove him out of paradise, and removed him far from the tree of life, not because he envied him the tree of life, as some ventured to assert, but because God pitied him, and did not desire that he should continue a sinner forever, nor that the sin which surrounded him should be immortal, and evil, an evil interminable and irremediable. But God set a bound to his state of sin by interposing death, and thus causing sin to cease, putting an end to it by the dissolution of the flesh, which should take place in the earth, so that man, ceasing at length to live to sin, and dying to sin, might begin to live to God. For this end did God put enmity between the serpent and the woman and her seed, they keeping it up mutually. He, the sole of whose foot should be bitten, having power also to tread upon the enemy's head, but the other biting, killing, and impeding the steps of man, until the seed did come appointed to tread down his head, which was born of Mary, of whom the prophet speaks, "Thou shalt tread upon the asp and the basilisk, thou shalt trample down the lion and the dragon," indicating that sin, which was set up and spread out against man, and which rendered him subject to death, should be deprived of its power, along with death, which rules over men, and that the lion, that is, Antichrist, rampant against mankind in the latter days, should be trampled down by him, and that he should bind the dragon, that old serpent, and subject him to the power of man who had been conquered, so that all his might should be trodden down. Now Adam had been conquered, all life having been taken away from him. Wherefore, when the foe was conquered in his turn, Adam received new life, and the last enemy, death, is destroyed, which at the first had taken possession of man. Therefore, when man has been liberated, what is written shall come to pass. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? This could not be said with justice, if that man over whom death did first obtain dominion were not set free. For his salvation is death's destruction. When, therefore, the Lord vivifies man, that is, Adam, death is at the same time destroyed. All, therefore, speak falsely who disallow Adam's salvation, shutting themselves out from life forever, in that they do not believe that the sheep which had perished has been found. For if it has not been found, the whole human race is still held in a state of perdition. False, therefore, is that man who first started this idea, or rather this ignorance and blindness, Tatian. As I have already indicated, this man entangled himself with all the heretics. This dogma, however, has been invented by himself, in order that, by introducing something new, independently of the rest, and by speaking vanity, he might acquire for himself hearers void of faith, affecting to be esteemed a teacher, and endeavoring from time to time to employ sayings of this kind, often made use of by Paul. In Adam we all die. Ignorant, however, that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Since this, then, has been clearly shown, let all his disciples be put to shame, and let them wrangle about Adam, as if some great gain were to accrue to them if he be not saved, when they profit nothing more than by that. Even as the serpent also did not profit when persuading man to sin, except to this effect, that Satan proved him a transgressor, obtaining man as the first fruits of his own apostasy. But Satan did not know God's power. Thus also, those who disallow Adam's salvation gain nothing, except this, that they render themselves heretics and apostates from the truth, and show themselves patrons of the serpent and of death. End of chapter 23.